she said after a beat of silence. I didn't even have it in me to laugh. Whatever she was smoking, that shit was made solely of rat poison, laundry detergent, and laxatives. No, anything else?
I have a case, she said. Hear me out.
I turned around to face her. The first drip of blood from my cut palm hit my loafer. I ignored it. A case? Do you even know how to spell the word? She took a step toward me. Funny, for all her nakedness, Lily never forgot to keep her red-soled heels on. I raised a hand, letting her know there was an invisible line between us, and it was not to be crossed. She leaned a hip against my TV stand, unfazed by my bloody palm.
I had a long chat with your old man.
She licked her upper lip. Interesting choice of words from a woman who'd let him give her mouth-to-mouth with his dick. I raised an eyebrow.
He was away this weekend, but he sent someone to open Camille's apartment for me. We ended up having quite the lengthy conversation in which he made some interesting points. The first one being that you are exploiting your employee by sleeping with her. And before you say it's consensual, please try and think of how it would look in the eyes of every single competing network. That the person who pushed the Me Too movement, that would be you, Celian, is not only sleeping with his reporter, but has actually...
She gasped theatrically, slapping a hand over her mouth.
Paid all of her debt off. And yes, I went through your trash to find your bank statements. For a man who advocates to save the environment, you should really go paperless. And it was totally worth it.
A satisfied grin graced her lips.
So, what do we have here? A boss sleeping with his poor employee and paying her way out of trouble?
To make matters worse, she's been promoted from the shitty beauty blog to the newsroom and then promoted as a reporter.
You actually fired someone to make room for her. Oopsie-daisy. Steve is my mom's best friend's son. He told me all about how you looked at her when you had your meeting.
Should have known Steve had a few more fuck-ups in his disaster bag before he left my newsroom. He had a face begging to be punched and I'd let him walk away with his nose intact. I had no one to blame but myself, really. I ran my red tainted fingers over my jaw.
I'm sure that's how people are going to see it.
She clucked her tongue, stretching. And she was naked. Too naked. I wanted to cover her up with something. A casket, maybe. Lily would look damn good in it. I don't care how people will see it. I employ Judith Humphrey because she is a gifted, hard-working reporter, and I fuck her because she is an excellent lay. Those two have nothing to do with each other. I was downplaying my entire arrangement with Jude, but I didn't want Lily to pin this breakup on my employee. It wasn't fair to Judith, and it was far from being the truth.
Is she worth everything you've ever worked for?
She pinched her lower lip between her fingers nervously. Yes, yes, she is. The thought struck me like lightning. Judith was worthy, and I hated that her value kept going up the more people around me were letting me down. She was hardworking, funny, quirky, and sex on chucks. She kept up with my sharp tongue and gave it to me just as good. She brought donuts to work when she knew her colleagues were facing a long, challenging day, and sneaked mini Jack Daniels bottles to Brianna in times I was particularly shitty. When Jessica needed help with her workload, Jude always volunteered, but never made a fuss about it or made sure that I knew. She was so fucking graceful and unassuming. And I knew that even if I lost LBC tomorrow, got kicked out of my apartment, stripped out of my inheritance, and sued for every penny I'd ever earned, it still wouldn't change my value in her eyes. And that was invaluable. Leave, I snapped, picking up Lily's dress from my floor, deliberately using my bloody hand to stain her precious Prada number. And this time, just so we're on the same page, if you come back here, I will make sure to slap a restraining order on your ass. It won't be pretty, seeing as you'll have to move away from Manhattan, and you can hardly find your way in fucking Bloomingdale's. Am I clear?
I'll take this story to all the press. Too many people already know.
She threw herself at me, her fists raining down on my chest. I pushed her away with my dripping palm, hoping to fuck her type of crazy wasn't contagious. You go do that, Lily. But put some clothes on first, you know, to make an impression.
Why are you fighting us? Why are you fighting to save us? Us ceased to exist a long time ago. You're going in circles. We haven't been together in over a year.
Her eyes darted down.
I thought it was going to change. I thought you'd calm down and realize we were compatible after the wedding.
Christ, that was her thought process. To think I'd almost married a genius.
You thought wrong.
2 minutes later, I slammed the door in her face, after she put some clothes on, thank fuck, and fished my phone out of my pocket to text Judith. Celian, Lily knows. Jude.
So does Milton. He was here when I came home. I'm telling my dad the truth about breaking up with him tonight. We need a game plan.
Celian, George Michael. Jude,
question mark?
Celian, George Michael is our plan. We're coming out.
Jude, did you just make a Grayson joke?
Celian, is that Gary's real name?
Jude, sent a gif of Ross from Friends bumping his fists.
Celian, at any rate, Lily is threatening to blackmail me by claiming I'm harassing you. Am I fucking you against your will, Miss Humphrey?
Jude, no, but I don't want the stigma of being that girl at work.
Celian, what stigma is that? We're not getting married. We're fucking each other casually and consensually. No one is getting promoted anytime soon.
Jude, right.
I wanted to diminish the weight she had in my world, knowing it could very well crush me if I wasn't careful. I hated how the thought of coming clean and telling everyone we were together secretly appealed to me, even though it was about to kill my reputation and make Judith's life 20 times harder at work. Most of all, I hated that I was going to hurt her. Not because she deserved it, but because I didn't know how not to.
Chapter 18. Jude. Guilt nibbled at my gut as Dad exclaimed how happy he was for me. For us. Of course, I'd sugarcoated the situation to the point that it looked like a churro. Instead of telling him I was now blissfully single and screwing my heartless boss, I painted a picture in soft pinks and vivid baby blues, in which Celian and I had fallen desperately in love with and decided to be together. He swallowed the entire thing and asked for seconds, came clean about the experimental treatment, and said he loved Celian like a son. Like a son. Dad begged me to invite Celian for dinner in the capacity of a normal couple, and I caved, mostly because I knew Celian would not turn us down. Since he'd opted for not getting back with Lily, any united front we were going to offer would surely help our cause. Plus, who the hell knew what we were? Sometimes it felt like a relationship, oftentimes like a dirty secret. Sometimes he ran cold. Many times he burned hot. On Monday morning, everyone walked into the first rundown meeting looking grim and overworked. I placed Kipling on the desk and slid into my usual seat, popping open a big white box of donuts. "Habit's gonna get you broke, girl?" Kate picked a chocolate-glazed one, greeting me by bumping her thigh against my shoulder. "That's like threatening a nun with a crucifix. I already am." I licked the powdered sugar off a pastry as Jessica handed Kate and me some coffee. "How was your weekend?" they both asked in unison, but Kate peppered the question with a knowing grin. She and Celian were close, but he was still a vault, so I opted for vagueness. "Relaxing?" "Oh, sweet, I put a question mark there. That wasn't suspicious." "That's one thing I don't believe." The entire room raised a collective eyebrow as Celian breezed through the door. He looked both pissed and perfect in a pale gray suit. His frown was so deep I could barely make out his eyes. Brianna shadowed his steps, sliding his Starbucks and iPad in front of his seat.
"I would ask how everyone's weekend was, but that would imply that I give a fuck. And I don't, because we have bigger fish to fry. I'm talking whale-sized ocean creatures. This is the first and last time I will address this subject, so feel free to never ask me again."
He dumped his phone and some documents on the desk, shooing his PA away.
"LBC just signed a clusterfuck of an ad deal with a marketing firm that specializes in alcohol, condoms, and gambling. You will hear about it in the media and in your local high-end bars and on goddamn Twitter. Do not engage. As far as we're concerned, we're making unbiased news. Period. Understood?"
Everyone nodded solemnly. Elijah raised his hand to ask something. Celian fell into his chair with a sigh.
"Is it about the deal?"
"Yes."
"Don't want to hear it. Let's get to business."
James Townley looked up from a newspaper he was holding.
"Anything else you'd like to address?"
Celian shot him a look.
"Are you referring to your fake tan problem? Because I can hold an intervention, but probably not until next week. Busy schedule and all."
"I'm talking about the elephant in the room."
James frowned, concern etching his face. He slapped the newspaper with the back of his hand before boomeranging it toward his director. Celion picked it up, frowned at the little article circled with a yellow highlighter, and slid it my way silently. I picked it up, my heart pounding in my ears. There was no picture, just text. Who's that girl? New York media tycoon Celion Laurent is dumped by his fiancée, Miss Lily Davis, after the latter caught him in the act, cheating on her with an employee. The sordid affair is said to be at least a few weeks old. Both parties were unavailable for comment. Celion sat back, lacing his fingers together.
Well, Elijah's eyebrows jumped to his forehead. You'll need to elaborate. It's true.
No, it's not. I wanted to jump up and yell as gasps erupted all across the room. He hadn't cheated on Lily, and she hadn't caught us in the act. I stared at him, bewildered, feeling my pulse jackhammering against my eyelids. He tilted his chin up, his expression reeking defiance, ignoring me completely.
Most of it, anyway. I am in a relationship with Judith Humphrey. However, it is not sordid. Hardly a secret, and we were never caught in any act. Judith didn't know about my relationship with Lily when we started dating, and is therefore not at fault. However, her position here has nothing to do with our relationship, which developed after she was appointed as a reporter.
He was calm, cold, and smooth. Everybody's eyes ping-ponged between us, and my skin was on fire. I felt humiliated and helpless. And most of all, I felt furious at his random confession. When we'd agreed to tell the world, I thought it would be after discussing a strategy, together.
I think we can all agree that Miss Humphrey has earned her place in this newsroom and did not need to sleep her way up the corporate ladder.
Celion smoothed a hand along his crisp shirt.
Agreed.
Kate reached out, squeezing my hand. I was too stunned to react.
I concur.
Elijah raised his palms in surrender.
She's the best.
Jessica regarded me with a frown, probably for keeping mum about getting freaky with the boss. I got why a lot of people felt cheated.
Junior, James tossed me a toothy smile. You're the real deal. We all know it.
But did they? There were at least 8 more people in the room, and their silence spoke 1,000 words. I knew without a shadow of a doubt that no one saw me in the same light anymore. To what degree was the real question? Thank you, I managed, refusing to look back at Celion, who stared at me intently now, trying to read between the lines of my deep frown. I didn't give him anything.
With this out of the way, Celion ran a hand over his square jaw. Give me something good.
Evidently Jude already has.
Someone coughed from my general direction, but I couldn't snap my head fast enough to see who it was. I don't think Celion heard it. He wasn't one to miss an opportunity to berate a cheeky employee. Kate began talking about the anti-drugs campaign failure, and Elijah butted in with a debt-ceiling lead. Celion looked bored out of his mind, leaning back in his chair and staring into the air, his legs crossed over the desk.
Humphrey?
At least he still called me that, like I was a genderless employee, like nothing had changed. Because nothing had. I was still a career woman. I was just a career woman who slept with her boss because we were both the same type of screwed up. I flipped Kipling's pages, my tongue sticking out of the corner of my mouth. I was talking to this guy last night, I started.
Does Celion know? He always seemed like the possessive type to me,
Elijah joked, tossing his head back and gulping down a bottle of water with a chuckle.
Out of my newsroom, Elijah, Celion barked, looking back to me. Continue, Judith.
I looked between them noiselessly. Elijah furrowed his brows, picked up his things, and shook his head.
It was a joke, he whispered.
Comedy Central is down the block. We make news here.
Celion was still looking at me, but with a jaded expectation, not an ounce of sympathy or affection in his icy blues. An unbearable tension squeezed the room from the moment Elijah realized he'd messed up to the second the door closed behind him. Anyway, my face heated, and I kept my eyes on Kipling. He's a Syrian journalist living in Germany. His name is Saeed. I found his Twitter account late last night.
Or Tinder,
Bryce, one of the producers in the room, whispered under her breath. Sitting at the head of the desk, Celion couldn't hear it, but I could. And I wanted to die. I deserved it. Even I could see why it would make my peers bitter. While they were chasing leads, I'd been chasing orgasms with the future president of the network. The engaged future president of the network. I took a deep breath, borrowing Kate's iPad silently and entering a web address. He uploaded this video documenting Syrian refugees trying to smuggle their way back to Syria. Back to Syria? Jessica raised an eyebrow. I nodded. They find it difficult to integrate, and they miss their families. Hundreds of refugees come back into Syria every week, mostly through Greece. They enter their own country illegally, on foot, tracing back over the route they used to run away. I clicked on the video and turned it around so everyone could see. Most of all, I was relieved to find people no longer looking at me like I was the root of all evil. Now they saw toddlers crying in their mother's hands, their lives at great risk.
Coverage?
Celian looked up at me after the video ended. Shaking my head, I pointed at the screen. This video has only been watched 500 times or so, but I'm guessing more people will find it as time ticks by. This could be a great lead for the special we're airing next week.
Good job.
Maybe his words would have been more believable if they hadn't felt like hail hitting my skin. I was growing tired of him being so callous. It's like his heart was wrapped in a thick layer of dead skin, the kind you have on the sole of your foot. A needle could pierce it, and you wouldn't feel a thing. I bowed my head, not daring to look at the reaction his compliment had created. People began to file out of the room, and so did Celian. He probably knew I was about ready to strangle him and didn't want a shouting match. I stayed inside, watching Kate pretend to collect her things at a snail's pace. She looked down as she spoke to me.
Celian did the only thing he could to make sure both your asses were covered. He did it in his own fuck-you-very-much way, but he meant well. You're about to get a lot of heat for it, but remember, better to address it here than let the daily gossip give people their version of your story.
I looked up, through the glass wall, and watched the news spread like wildfire, people hunching down and whispering into their colleagues' ears, secretaries marching out with their cigarette packs so they could gossip downstairs, reporters passing the newspaper James had brought between them. I think he just killed my career. My head collapsed into my arms on the table.
Killed?
No. Kate tossed her things into her bag and stood up.
But he just made it a lot harder for both of you, so you better get out there and start proving to people what I already know, that you were born to be a journalist.
The next few days were a blur. Things somehow got both better and worse. Better because people had very little time to duck their heads down and whisper about us. Celian was running around the office screaming his lungs out at them. We were severely short-staffed, and every calamity in the world had decided to land at our feet. Worse, because ever since the new ads started rolling, Celian was in and out of meetings on the 60th floor, and every time he came back, he punched a wall to its untimely death. We were four holes in, with our ratings slipping each passing second, and our competitors openly discussing our current situation as a network dying a slow, painful, and very public death. Celian had not been kidding. Matthias wanted to kill LBC before he left, and now that Celian was no longer engaged to Lily and in no position to overturn those decisions, he had to watch it crumble, eyes wide open, Clockwork Orange style. Celian wasn't the only one trying to plug LBC into a life support machine. James Townley got into a screaming match with Matthias in the middle of the newsroom the day after the commercials started running and threatened to quit.
"You're ruining this business, and your son!"
He'd thrown a batch of documents in Matthias's face.
"If you're unhappy, James, you know exactly where the door is."
Matthias had pointed at it for emphasis.
"Yes, Matt. You've shown it to me plenty, but I'll never leave here, and we both know why."
Celian had dragged his anchor to the conference room and had a heated conversation with him. They'd come out looking spent, just in time to see Matthias wink wickedly through the closing doors of the elevator. If nothing else, Celian had found an ally in James, one person to cross off his Guinness Records-worthy shit list. The other downside of LBC's looming demise was that Celian and I hadn't had time to talk to each other since the news broke that we were together. I was still mad at him, but it was difficult to confront him properly when he was running on coffee and energy shots, trying desperately to save his dying network. It was my educated guess that he hadn't slept more than 10 hours combined this week. So when Friday evening rolled in, I was surprised to see him walk to my desk, in front of everyone, and lean his hip against my file cabinet, his signature hands tucked in pockets and devil-may-care smirk on full display.
Chucks.
I looked up. He had dark circles around his eyes and a 3-day stubble. I desperately wanted to give him a piece of my mind, but there was no point in kicking him while he was down. Jerk. He arched an eyebrow and I shrugged. I thought we nicknamed each other the things that represented us. He leaned down and placed a chaste kiss on my temple. Everybody stopped what they were doing and stared at us, and I felt myself turning crimson. The air stood still in the room. He was gasoline, I was a match.
Dinner and an apology, he said, not offered in front of everyone, so cocky and sure that I would jump into his arms.
You should probably start with the latter to get the former. I sat back and looked at him blankly. He hung his head and shook it, laughing.
I apologize for outing us in a less than diplomatic manner, but not for making sure everyone knows that you're fucking mine.
He leaned down, his lips grazing my ear.
Hang on to this anger, Chucks. I'll be happy to work your crazy ass up in bed and fuck every doubt and complaint out of your tight pussy.
If I were an emoji, I would be drooling a little pool under my feet. I guess you could buy me dinner. I kept my expression schooled, and he tugged at my jacket draped over the back of my seat, helping me into it.
Guessing is a gambling game. I'm definitely buying you dinner tonight.
We're going to have a long talk, I said, feeling Jessica and Kate watching us with horror and fascination. I don't think they'd ever seen anyone talk back to their boss.
And even longer makeup sex, he grinned.
30 minutes later, we were in a Chinese restaurant off Broadway. Celian was drinking bottled beer as I ordered every single thing on the menu. Sorry. I handed our waiter the velvet red tariff. I can't eat when I'm stressed, and this is the first time we've spoken since Monday, so I'm making up for lost time. Celian unfolded his napkin, frowning at it like it had accused him of something, considering my words. We're tanking, I told him. Your father is on a suicide mission, and he's taken all of us as hostages. The only way to stop him is to overthrow his decision, which you can do by teaming up with the Davis family. Can you at least ask Lily's father, go directly to him? Every word felt like a sword slicing through my mouth. I was sending him off to the last place I wanted him to be, with his ex. He fingered the rim of his bottle.
They have their own shit to sort through, and the last thing they need is the motherfucker who cheated on their daughter showing up asking for solids.
You haven't cheated on Lily, though. I rubbed my nose in frustration. Why did you agree with that statement? If looks could slap you in the ass, I think his expression just did.
I'm fond of her family, he said curtly.
And?
And I'd hate to break it to them that their daughter is a piece of work.
But why?
They treated me like a son when I had no relatives to speak of but Camille.
So you're content with being the bad guy? I blinked, my mouth lax.
Are we living on the same fucking planet? I am the bad guy.
He had a point, and I understood where he was coming from, even if it made me uncomfortable that he'd protected Lily. What about LBC? He clutched his beer so tightly I thought it was going to crack, ignoring the steaming dishes the waiter slid onto our table. I wasn't feeling so hungry myself anymore.
I'm listening to offers from other networks.
What? I whisper yelled. LBC is yours.
No. It's my father's for the foreseeable future. Unlike 99% of the general population, I'm both good at my job and I love it. I won't jeopardize my reputation. I'd rather work somewhere else.
What about your staff? It was an accusation more than a question. No matter how much people feared Celian, they respected and were loyal to him, too. He couldn't just get up and leave. Not in theory, anyway. In practice, I knew better than anyone how he could be taciturn and detached.
If it comes to that, I'll make a package deal to take Kate and Elijah with me.
He stretched in his seat, and I watched the muscles of his arms looping around his bones like ivy, every curve incredibly male. Then I thought about the muscle inside his chest, the one that pounded but didn't get its recommended exercise. His father was killing him slowly and enjoying doing so. His mother was mostly indifferent toward everything around her. Celion didn't have a shot, other than the Davis family, and we both knew it. "And what about us?" I asked quietly. His eyes were cold, but his mouth was red and hot, alive.
"What about us?"
His icy tenor glided like an ice cube along my spine. He waved his empty beer bottle at the waiter, signaling for another. "Are you going to explain that little stint in the newsroom when James showed us the item?"
"Probably not. We agreed it was the best thing to come clean, so I did."
"Without consulting me?"
"False. I consulted you the night before. I have the text messages to prove it."
"We agreed to it, but didn't talk strategy." I refused to back off.
"Strategy?"
He scoffed.
"We're not running for office, Judith. Just fucking in one."
He'd thrown our affair in everyone's face, and now he was acting like an asshole, because he didn't know how not to. But I was done, done eating it up every time he threw crumbs of attention my way. I knew I had to stand up and leave before I cried. We'd done everything backwards. First the sex, then the feelings. We'd defied our workplace and our colleagues and our ethical codes. We'd ruined a perfectly dysfunctional engagement that had kept his company alive. But most of all, we'd also ruined ourselves. My legs were up before I knew it, carrying me to the exit. No explanation, no apologies. I felt his grave steps thumping in my hollow chest as he followed me out. It was raining outside, the kind of dirty, humid rain to break the pulses of summer heat. It reminded me of the day we'd met, of the carnal desperation that ate at me back then, of the fact that I was still alone. I felt his hand on my shoulder as he swiveled me around sharply. He jerked me into his arms. I didn't want him to let go. I didn't want him to keep me there either. "I wish I'd never met you." My fists pounded his chest, and he took it, maybe because he knew he deserved it. His mouth pressed against my cheek felt like a rusty, hot blade. The world felt like it was ending, even though I knew it couldn't be. The vein of his breath sliced through my ear.
"I wish that, too."
That night, the sex was different. Slow, intense, and angry. Every thrust was a punishment, each rake of my fingernails against his skin a reminder that I, too, could hurt him. We didn't talk about it, not even when tears rolled down my cheeks, and he kissed them, then licked them, then drank them thirstily, for they were his. That night, we ended things differently, too. He was sound asleep when I collected the few belongings I had and called a cab. It was going to cost a pretty penny, but I didn't want to be there when he woke up. We were miles away from Florida, literally and figuratively. And that, too, reminded me of the rainy night we'd met. Later that night, I had a strange, somber epiphany. Milton was right. I was a mortal, playing with a deity. And now I was getting hurt, while he remained intact. There was nothing wrong with my heart. It was not lonely, and it was definitely not a hunter. It had been hunted. There was only one problem with the fact that my heart was so dreadfully, unexpectedly normal. Somewhere along the way, it had stopped being mine.
Chapter 19. Celion. There was nothing better than a fresh cup of coffee in the morning and getting Chucks' ex-boyfriend fired from his job. I handed Brianna my planner. "Burn today's page, I have some shit to do." It was an exact, albeit unprofessional, order. Specifically, said shit was going to every bigwig who denied my request to cancel the new ad campaign and showing them the plummeting ratings chart I'd printed out as a last attempt to save this sinking ship. I might have been a bit dramatic last Friday night when I'd spoken to Judith. Quitting LBC was not in the cards for me anytime soon, with or without the new ads, but I didn't want to lie to her either. And I was listening to other offers, mainly so the bigwigs would get tipped by their moles and realize I was serious about leaving if we didn't get our ducks in a row. Getting Milton fired by talking to my old friend Elise and telling her the fucker had tried to win my girlfriend back wasn't necessary, but it was definitely a nice bonus. Elise, who was a fellow Harvard graduate, wasn't impressed by her new boyfriend's antics. Also, Robert, Judith's father, was apparently on my team, because he'd chosen to share this piece of information with me in the first place. As for Judith, I needed to get my head out of my ass, take her to lunch, and apologize for being my bastard self. Again. She'd taken a cab back in the middle of the night after we left things, though not orgasms. Unfinished.
Yes, sir. Oh, and sir, Miss Davis is here.
Brianna jotted down my orders for the morning. I took a sip of my coffee and gathered this week's statistics in a big fat file. Lily Davis? I arched an eyebrow.
No, sir, Gina Davis. She was wondering if you could be the Louise to her Thelma.
I looked up and caught her nibbling at her lower lip, biting on a huge smile. I smirked. Touché. She was beginning to fight, something she never would have done if it wasn't for Judith. As for the matter at hand, Lily must have been quite drunk, because there was no way in hell and its neighboring sections she had the balls to come here. Shit. It was 9 in the morning. Impossible. She knows she's one step away from a restraining order. Plus, I very much doubted Lily got up before noon. If hedonism was a job, the bitch would be Mark Zuckerberg.
Well, she is, and she's in tears.
I'm more interested to know if she's in clothes. I slid the file into my leather briefcase. Brianna blinked at me, cocking her head sideways.
Yes, sir, she's clothed.
I snapped my fingers toward the door. Send her in. A minute later, Lily stood in my office, still in her nightgown and jacket. She sniffled, her tears coming down like a broken faucet. She wiped her cheeks and nose with the sleeve of her jacket and looked like hell, but not in a way that concerned me. What's going on?
Graham's died.
She choked on a sob. I stood, rushing to her. For all the shit she'd put me through, I hated to see anyone going through losing someone important to them. I cared about Madeline deeply, and I hadn't gotten to say goodbye to her. She hadn't even known I was there. I'd disappeared on the entire Davis family because I hated their daughter and was too busy licking my wounds. I pulled Lily into a hug and she buried her face in my chest and howled, the kind of yelp that ripped your chest open. I cupped the back of her head. She swayed from side to side in my arms. Shit, I'm sorry, I whispered. I was, and it made me feel oddly human.
I don't know what to do,
she sniffed, rays of the old Lily, the one I'd actually liked, seeping through the cracks of her Botoxed exterior.
Will you come to the funeral?
Of course. Her thigh nestled between mine and I hated it, and I couldn't stop it, and I hated that even more, because if it wasn't intentional, I would never forgive myself for pushing her away. Anything your family needs, I'm here.
Will you come today, talk to Dad? He's really beside himself. Mom, too. We feel like you were a part of us because for the longest time you were. Gramps loved you so much.
Not a good idea, everything considered. She looked up and blinked at me. The item in the paper, I clipped. That you leaked, I refrained from adding. If I brought it up, I'd have to tell her what I thought about her version of our story, and now wasn't the place and certainly not the time.
Oh, I talked to them. They're willing to forgive you.
She disconnected from me to wipe her tears quickly. And the Botoxed bitch returns. How kind of them. My sarcasm was pretty much dripping on the floor. I glanced at my watch behind her back. I needed to get those reports out. At the same time, I couldn't go about my day business as usual. Maybe because I'd tried to do it when Camille died. Went back to the office after the weekend of her funeral. Buried myself in work. Didn't talk about it with anyone. Built a higher, stronger, thicker wall between me and the world, making sure no one could get through it. Camille hadn't deserved it. Hell, Madeline hadn't either. After all, she was the woman who'd given me the very best advice I'd never bothered to take. It was after we'd exited Phantom of the Opera, arm in arm. We'd sauntered into our favorite Italian restaurant. She'd asked me if I thought I'd marry her granddaughter. Probably, it's what's expected of me.
But what do you want?
To make Lily happy? And my father, who might finally accept me for making the right decision, and my mother, who normally didn't particularly care.
And yourself? You want to make yourself happy?
I don't think I can be. I hadn't, not then and not now. Madeline's face had fallen, and she'd squeezed my bicep between her fragile fingers.
Then you need to keep looking, because my granddaughter isn't the one.
I'll come, I told Lily, taking a step back. Fuck the bigwigs and fuck the network. I needed to pay respects to the woman who'd put my happiness before her family's. Lily's red claws sunk into my skin and she pulled me into an octopus hug.
Thank you.
Jude. On the way to work, Leonard Cohen told me in my earbuds that we're spending the treasure that love cannot afford, and I nodded, not only to the rhythm but the sentiment. My chucks were blood red, and I'd spent the train ride dyeing their laces black with a Sharpie. I walked into the office not knowing what to expect. The professional side was going to be evidently extra depressing. But last night, Celian and I had showcased our hearts like they were on a window display when we touched, crawled into each other's mouths, and seeped into each other's souls. Then, I'd left, without a message or a phone call. Not my most mature moment, but I was sure he needed time to think, too. I walked the hallway, ignoring the judgy looks and raised eyebrows people tried to pin me with. Jessica passed me and winced. She didn't say anything, but one look at her face told me I was in for an unpleasant surprise. Uh-huh. My phone beeped twice before I got to my station, and I dumped my backpack under my seat, swiping the touchscreen. Grayson, girl, we love you. We're here for you. And just remember, he can take your joy, temporarily, but he can never take your good hair. Ava, I heard his dick was too big anyway. Jokes aside, those things only look good in porn. What the hell is happening? I decided to take it up with Celian, who was clearly the root of this weird behavior toward me. I stormed out of the newsroom and stopped when I got to his open door. His back was to me, and he was hugging Lily, who peeked behind his arm. She smiled at me, triumph glittering in her eyes, clutching the fabric of his shirt and nuzzling her nose against his arm. He took her face in both his hands and leaned down, asking her something intimately. She nodded, sniffed, and buried her head back in his chest. His hands on her, her hands on him. Red. My chucks were red, my heart was black. My mind was white, thick fog. I was a fool, an idiot. I was the other woman who'd just gotten dumped very publicly and, as per usual, without notice. I was able to hear them clearly through the open door. Can we go now? I don't want to wait another minute, she whined, smoothing his shirt with her palms. The act looked so natural on them, like they'd done it 1,000 times before. They probably have, Jude.
Yes, he said. Of course.
I snuck into the room next to his office before he could see me. The last thing I wanted was a public showdown with a side of Korean drama-worthy catfight. Already LBC was in deep trouble, and everybody looked at me like I'd screwed my way into the Laurent's royal family. No reason to give them even more ammo against me. Besides, maybe it wasn't as bad as it looked. I flipped up my phone and shot him a quick message. Jude, everything okay? I went to my desk and switched on my monitor, ignoring the nausea that slammed into me out of nowhere. The room, which was spinning at the corners of my vision, was also eerily silent, and I knew why. If Celian was right about one thing, it was the fact that he'd never forced me into anything. I'd willingly slept with him. In my desperate, sad haze, I had even initiated this affair. I'd made my bed, and the fact that it now crawled with slimy creatures, eating at my reputation and feelings, was my fault, and my fault only. He answered at noon, long after he'd left the office. Celian.
Something came up.
Jude. Elaborate? Celian.
Family.
Of course, Lily was family. And of course, I was the mistake he'd left behind. Celian didn't come to work the next day, or the day after. The rumor mill was in full swing, with Matthias poking his head down from the top floor and hanging out in the newsroom like it was his second house. He tapped Kate on the shoulder and made suggestions, walked up to Elijah and shot him orders, and tried to coax Jessica into having lunch with him. It was clear he was trying to screw with us as much as he could before Celion came back, which made me believe he knew something we didn't. Maybe that his son had gotten back with his ex-fiancée. It was a disaster in the making, and I had VIP tickets. On the flip side, he did ignore me the best he could, and I tried to disappear into my monitor and not lift my head from the keyboard until it was time to go home. When I had a second to breathe, I ran to the fifth floor to Ava or Grayson's desk. Phoenix, who was a freelancer, didn't have to show up at work every day. But he did, because I was in breakdown mode. "You don't know what's happening yet," he tried to reason with me. "What's to know? The Laurents do what they want to do." "Exactly. And he doesn't want to do Lily. Hasn't for a while now. He wants his network, and that's what he'll get. I'll be a blip in his history, nothing but a stain." "Stain?" Grayson huffed, slapping his desk. "I hope you tarnished his whole life." According to Gray, Celion had been seen going in and out of Lily's apartment building twice in the last 48 hours. At this point, I'd stopped trying to communicate with him and had gotten the general idea. The message had finally hit home. I was disposable. Maybe not a one-night stand, but definitely a short-term one. I was past my expiration date, thrown aside for Lily to take over. He was patching things up with her family and spending time with her. Phoenix, of all people, remained impartial. "Celion Laurent is every bad thing under the sun, but he is not a pussy. If he wanted to get back with Lily, he would have given it to you straight." Grayson filed his nails, rolling his eyes. "Then I guess he gave it to her gay when he kept Mom on his engagement the night they met." "He didn't think he'd see her again," Ava pointed out. "But then he found out they were working together," Gray stressed, unwilling to give Celion any slack. I couldn't blame him. He'd been working here for 4 years, and Celion still didn't know his name. "Plenty of time to clear things up." "It didn't make any difference. They weren't together, and he was trying to set boundaries with an employee, seeing as his father is a first-class douche with blurred lines when it comes to female co-workers," Phoenix shot back, picking at his takeout with a set of seriously short chopsticks. "Why are you defending him?" I blinked. "He's been nothing but horrible to you." Phoenix shrugged.
"Because he's sorry."
"About what?" Ava asked.
"About everything. About what happened to Camille, about keeping us apart. The guilt practically pours from his face when he passes me in the corridor. He knows he screwed up, and he wasn't even the one doing the real damage. I don't like him, not even close. But then again..."
He dropped his takeout box in the trash can, even though it was still half full. He shook his head, knotting his fingers behind his neck on a sigh.
"Camille loved him. He protected her fiercely. He gave her the love and guidance their parents didn't. And I refuse to believe that's the same man who pulled shit like this."
"I haven't heard from him in almost 3 days. I cleared my throat, looking down at the takeout box in my lap. What the hell had I ordered anyway? I'd thought it was orange chicken and noodles, but now that I looked, it was stir-fried seafood and rice. I'd eaten a quarter of it without even tasting it. Just how messed up was I? My heart is not a lonely hunter. My heart feels, it beats, it loves, it breaks. It breaks, oh God, it is breaking right now to pieces, and there is nothing I can do to patch it back together. I'm falling apart right along with it." My phone pinged. I refused to look down and chance everyone seeing how my face twisted in agony and disappointment when I found out, yet again, that it wasn't Celion. I took a sip of my water. Another ping. Then another. Then another. Phoenix's phone started pinging, too, but he wasn't a coward. He pulled it out of his pocket and frowned.
"Jude?"
"Yes?"
"It's Kate. There's an oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. Noah is freaking out, and there's an official statement coming in half a second. We need to go upstairs right now."
We both shot from our seats at the same time. Adrenaline pumped in my veins. Phoenix took my hand and tugged me into the elevator. He didn't let go even once we were inside. When our eyes met, he squeezed my palm.
"Want the truth?"
he asked. I grimaced. Getting tired of the lies, that's for sure.
That day, when I met you at the library, I wanted to hit on you. I thought for the first time since Camille that I'd found something good. My eyelashes fluttered, my breath hitching.
Oh?
Then the next day, I saw you at your desk. Celion walked over to you. He looked down, you looked up, your eyes met. He fought a smile. I had a deja vu moment, because the last time his face lit up like that was when Camille busted his balls for one thing or another. No one else ever made him smile. So I couldn't do it to him, or to you, or to me.
He let go when we arrived at the newsroom. Kate was ushering people to the conference room for an emergency meeting. Celion wasn't there. Matthias was. Chapter 20. Jude. Half my coworkers ended up spending the night in the newsroom to cover the oil spill. All evening, people ran around asking where Celion was, but no one had an answer. I overheard stories from the same folks who'd so kindly made false assessments about my motives and personality when my boss had announced we were dating. They said he had never missed an important item in his life, that he'd once shown up to work with a fever and lung infection to cover the Michael Flynn case with the Russians, that he was probably really eager to get back with his beautiful, albeit crazy, fiancée. Kate sent me home when the clock hit 11. She probably had mercy on me since I didn't live around the block. She also knew about Dad, and I wished she didn't, because I didn't want to be the token charity case.
Jude, grab your things. I'll see you tomorrow morning.
I can stay, I said, and I meant it. I didn't mind pulling an all-nighter. I hadn't slept much during my first year of college between working two jobs and keeping my grades up. Kate momentarily tore her gaze from the monitor she stared at.
No. You've already gathered all information I need. I want you to go home.
Arguing with her was just going to eat away her precious time, and besides, she wasn't wrong. I needed to check on Dad. I grabbed my bag and walked toward the elevator, a pang of guilt slicing my conscience as I watched everyone else, still hard at work. I'd called the elevator when a hand clasped my shoulder, swiveling me around. It was Kate. Her normally snowy cheeks were red, and she looked flustered and out of sorts.
If I knew where he was, I'd tell you, she said, her breathing heavy from running.
I know, I smiled softly. But I wouldn't expect you to. Whatever Celion does with his life is none of my business, and it will not affect my performance here. Kate pressed her forehead to the cool wall beside us, squeezing her eyes shut. She looked tired.
I got it. She was sans Celion and short on staff.
He'll have some serious explaining to do once he finally gets back here. The elevator slid open, and I stepped inside, giving her a thumbs up. For the very first time, I thought, and explain he might, but I will not be listening anymore. I was about to round the corner and turn onto my street when a limo pulled up at the curb and the passenger door flung open. My eyes widened, and I stopped in an instant. My dad was no Liam Neeson, and if I was going to get kidnapped, I very much doubted I could be saved. I turned around to look at the person getting out of the vehicle. It was Lily, dressed to impress in what looked like a cocktail gown. She seemed to be alone. Can I help you? I cocked my head. I wanted to be strong, but was tired, hungry, and annoyed. And pissed at myself. So pissed that I'd let myself get carried away with a man like Celion Laurent. I usually made smart choices. I was a salad girl, and he was a deep-fried cake.
Me? No. Though I'm sure you'll do it at some point once you get fired and have to become a waitress to support your slutty ways.
She walked toward me on her high heels. The limo driver looked the other way, like he couldn't watch the scene. Her sentence hadn't even made any sense. I folded my arms across my chest.
Why are you here? To tell you to back off.
If Celion doesn't want me, he's welcome to tell me himself. I didn't agree with any part of that sentence. I was no longer sure I wanted him anyway, and at any rate, it wasn't entirely clear we were even together. But I'd be damned if I'd let her boss me around like that. Lily kept coming until she was chest to chest with me. She was much taller and a little leaner. Most of all, she was meaner. You're ruining his life, Jade. Jude, I corrected. She'd seemed to love my unique name before she'd known her fake fiancé was sleeping with me. She rolled her eyes like I was an idiot for even pointing that out. Whatever. You butting into his life means he's losing everything he cares about. He doesn't have any family of his own. We were his family, not to mention the network. You are toxic to him, and he's trying hard not to hurt your feelings, but whenever I call him, he comes back. My face heated, but I said nothing. I didn't believe her, not completely anyway, yet her words got to me. I started walking toward my house, bypassing her on the sidewalk. I felt her turning around behind me. He's going to be back in my arms by the end of this week. Good luck, I shouted back, not turning around to face her. You've always been a fling, a meaningless one-night stand that got stretched into more because of the circumstances. I smiled bitterly. Yes, that I believe. At home, I made Dad his vegetable soup for tomorrow, following the recipe they'd given me through his program. I was cutting a carrot into depressingly small pieces when my dad hollered from the living room.
Would you look at that? Your boyfriend is famous.
The first thing that popped into my head was that Milton had been arrested for killing a prostitute. He was so clean-cut and morbidly middle-class, it seemed like something he'd be capable of doing. I nicked my little finger when the thought of Celion sprung into my mind. Was he in trouble? More importantly, was I supposed to care this much? How do you mean, Dad? I tried to keep my voice light.
He looks good in a tux. I'll give him that. Of course, if I was as tall as LeBron James, I would rock a designer suit like nobody's business. You have to see this, JoJo.
I placed the knife on the chopping board and wiped my hands on my jeans, walking over to the living room. I stood behind the sofa so Dad couldn't see me. Good call, considering the horror I knew had plastered itself on my unsuspecting face as I realized what I was looking at. It was a gossip show rerun from earlier in the day. Some New York socialite had celebrated her birthday and rented out half the left wing of some glitzy hotel. She'd ordered a cake the size of a house, literally an actual house, and someone from the Guinness Book of World Records came in to measure it. As the camera spun around the horrendous excuse for a sponge cake, it took over 500 sacks of sugar and 600 pounds of flour to make the cake. It caught some of the guests at the party. And there was my very own Waldo, who'd been missing in action for the past 3 days. Lily's arm was looped around Celion's. He smiled. She clapped. They looked happy. Happy like record stores and stone skipping and stolen iPods could never make him. Happy like his fiancé had just helped him save his news channel.
Who's the girl?
Dad scratched his bald head. His fiancé. Rocks. The admission felt like swallowing rocks. Dad twisted his head, frowning.
JoJo?
I nodded, squeezing my eyes shut so he wouldn't see the pain swirling inside them. I wanted to run to the cemetery down the block where my mother was buried and throw myself on her tombstone and tell her I wished she'd really cursed me. So my heart would be lonely and hungry. So it wouldn't be linked via an invisible string, like a balloon, to a man who was too good at sucking the air out of it.
I thought you two were together.
Dad brushed his fingers along my arm. I thought so too, Dad. He decided to get back with her earlier this week.
Idiot.
I knew he meant Celion, but the same could be said about me. The whole world had warned me about him, and I'd chosen to stick my earbuds in and ignore them. Well, I'm pooped. I'll finish your soup tomorrow morning before I go to work. I dropped a kiss on his head, escaping to my room. I checked the messages on my phone. There were none. I set my alarm for 6 in the morning and buried myself under the covers. Lily had spent the evening with him, then paid me a visit to warn me she was going to steal him back. She could keep him.
Celion. I walked into my office with a fresh cup of coffee and another suit that cost fuck knows how much so Brianna wouldn't have to move her precious ass an inch. Kate was sitting behind my desk in my office, but I didn't have it in me to kick her all the way back to the newsroom with my Oxford still stuck between her ass cheeks. She didn't look up from her laptop as I approached. The doghouse is all the way down to your left at the nearest Petco store. She rubbed her eyes, causing a streak of black eyeliner to run down her cheeks. She looked like she'd been sucking dick for 20 years straight without taking a break. Haggard, hair frizzy with red blotches covering most of her skin. Her gray shirt had at least 3 different sets of unidentifiable stains. You look stunning, by the way. I slid her my cup of coffee.
Well, you look like the asshole who's about to get dumped and fired on the same day, so I wouldn't go around offering sarcastic compliments.
She shut her laptop, tucked it under her arm, and stood up. I followed her with my eyes as she made her way to the door. If she thought she was walking away without explaining her behavior, she was gravely mistaken. Stop, I commanded. She did, her back to me. What the fuck are you talking about? I leaned against my desk. She didn't turn around.
I stayed here all night.
Why?
Have you not checked the news in the last 15 hours?
Alarm trickled into my system. If the mayor had decided to go into cardiac arrest on the first day I decided to unplug, I was going to be ushered to a room right next to him.
Get to the point,
I bit out.
Check your phone.
She spun on her heel slowly, arching a patronizing eyebrow. I shook my head, regarding her through hooded eyes. This game of yours might cost you your job, so I sure as hell hope you're enjoying it.
Oh, I'm not. Trust me. Now let's see.
She made a show of turning to me fully, tapping her lip.
It started with the fact that the entire newsroom saw you leaving with your ex-fiancé a hot second after you'd declared that Jude is your girlfriend, which put her squarely in the position of being the official office joke, the building's leftover who's been dumped by the boss. Spoiler alert, she doesn't like it. Then sometime last night, it was revealed that there's an oil spill threatening to kill thousands of mammals and birds. People stayed overnight. Jude didn't, because she had to take care of her father after working overtime. So don't worry, I'm sure she caught the Gossip Road rerun of you hanging out with Lily. Gosh!
She slapped a hand over her chest.
What a multitasker. Banging your ex and your life simultaneously.
I erased the space between us, jerking my chin up to look down at her. She hadn't told me anything I didn't already know. Well, okay, except the oil spill, and I wasn't an idiot, so obviously I had a good idea of what it all looked like. Keeping Jude guessing was the plan, pushing her away, the goal. But I didn't like what Kate had insinuated. I didn't fuck Lily, her grandmother died. That was not something I could exactly shout from the rooftops. The Davis family was private. Her sisters were adamant about working regular jobs.
Does Jude know?
She will. I was playing with fire, but the self-fulfilling prophecy wasn't uncalled for. I didn't really do girlfriends, and the shit with Chucks was getting to be a bit much.
You're not listening, Celian. She's not going to hear your bullshit. How will you explain hanging at Lily's apartment building, attending a birthday party with her, disappearing on all of us?
I shouldered past her and she gasped, taking an evasive step. The impending calamity I'd inserted myself into with eyes wide open was going to come raining down on me. It wasn't pouring, but we were already at a steady trickle. Shit. I was in deep shit. I attended all those functions for her family, I told Kate, still unable to reach for my office door. That included Lily's cousin's stupid birthday party. I went to her apartment twice without her because I needed to get her fresh clothes and her toiletry shit. We were never in the same vicinity with our clothes off. She tried to hold my hand for half a fucking second at the party and I bit her head off for it. We're over. But that doesn't mean I need to be an ass to her. I wanted to be there for the Davises because when my life was crumbling and Camille died, they were there for me. Lily had been a no-show during those terrible days, but I still remembered the flowers and pastry the family had sent every morning. Her mother checking in on me, her grandmother calling me 3 times a day to make sure I ate and showered and breathed. Kate turned around, reaching for the door handle. I kept my face blasé.
Good luck explaining it to everyone, Celian, because let me tell you something. The moment Jude walked into the room, she changed you. It wasn't profound. It was even gradual, but it was there. In the way you started smiling, the way you softened toward your employees, just a little. And started doing the right thing by yourself and Lily, but standing here?
She shook her head.
I think that man just bailed on us, and it saddens me because I was looking forward to working with and befriending the new Celian.
She closed the door behind her and I looked to the glass wall. Catching Jude unpacking her lunch and dumping her bag by her chair, she looked up to meet my gaze like I knew she would. We could sense each other from miles away. I arched a come-get-it eyebrow. Her face remained unaffected.